Parables, like poetry, drive most people crazy. The symbols, the allusions, the images with multiple interpretations, all of these breed frustration and impatience, even in the hardiest soul. However, there are some who enjoy the challenge of figuring out these literary mysteries. Think of them as miniature detective stories, planted with bits of elusive wisdom designed to stretch the imagination and exercise the mind. And despite all of the cussing and spitting that parables and poetry often invoke, these art forms can push us to broader and deeper understanding, both guide us and force us to consider angles of approach that we might otherwise fail to use. So let's wipe our chin, confess our cussing, and consider the possibilities. Jesus teaches with parables because he knows something that we oftentimes forget. As we progress along the way, we need more and better food for the journey. We can't continue to live and grow the Christian life consuming nothing but cut and dried propositions or raw statements of belief, an easily digestible greeting card pabulum. At some point, we have to tuck into the meat and potatoes of the good news, even risking a bout or two of indigestion along the way. Case in point, those tiny mustard seeds can cause diverticulitis and yeast an itchy rash. Mustard seeds can also grow into hardy, edible plants, and yeast is necessary in leavening bread and making beer. Even the smallest seed, the tiniest bacterium, given time and patience, can produce a desirable and delicious result. But let's say that Jesus is using the mustard seed and the yeast bacterium to refer to the faith infused into an individual soul. Given the right conditions, a set of listening ears and seeing eyes, an opened heart and mind, and a strong desire for holiness, an individual infused with faith can nurture this virtue of trust into a hearty way of life that produces an admirable fruit. But what if Jesus is using the seed and the yeast to refer to the faithful individual planted in the fertile soil of the church? The seed and yeast of one soul's faith can fertilize and leaven the whole body of Christ, prompting the body to produce a larger and stronger yield of holiness. But what if Jesus is using the image of the seed and yeast to refer to the church herself, all of us together constituting a single mustard seed, a single bacterium, his body planted in the fields of the world? Then, like the faith growing in a single soul and a single soul growing in the body of the church is planted in the world, one seed, one bacterium, to thrive and produce an admirable fruit. Do we settle on just one interpretation of the parable? Or do we take and choose and hold all three simultaneously? Or even better, do we take these three and grow them into another and another, always remembering that the mustard seed can only produce mustard, and the yeast will always be yeast? If we hope to avoid being favorably compared to Jeremiah's loincloth, rotted and good for nothing, then we must safeguard the word we've been given and at the same time broadcast it as seed into the fields of the world, as yeast into the unleavened dough of our culture. The Lord charges Judea with a faithless pride. He says that they are a wicked people who refuse to obey God's word. who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts, who serve and adore strange gods. If we hope to avoid this righteous charge as individuals, as a church, then we must listen to Christ's parable with more than an analytical mind. Our task as those baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord goes far, far beyond the recitation of liturgical formulas. It goes far beyond the soothing litanies of good intentions. We are not only charged with spreading the seed of the good news, we are also charged with nurturing what we have planted, tending the fields, pulling the weeds when necessary, and reaping an admirable harvest for the Lord. But even as we work, we do so as servants of a more merciful God, one who cared for us as we grew from a seed to a sprout, to a fruit-bearing plant. Parables, like poetry, can be infuriating in their vagueness. But let's not mistake Jesus' purpose in using the parable of the seed and the yeast. He's teaching us that not everyone, at any given time, is ready to produce the same admirable fruit. An excellent farmer is a patient farmer. He is also a lover of parable and infuriatingly persistent.